who have been coming here more often, I will know that we are doing the characters of the Bible until I think probably the end of August. Then I will change to something else. So probably today will be my last to preach on one of the characters for me. Other people will preach other ones along the line. So I decided to go for one of the kings I love in scripture. And I've spoken about that king already. And he is in the name of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat happens to be the fourth king of Judah. I think most of you will be aware, we at a point in time there was a division. So we got Israel itself and we got Judah. And Judah has his own king, and usually the king of Judah has to rule Jerusalem, and the king of Israel is another king. So Jehoshaphat happens to be the fourth king of Judah. His name from scripture and from other sources says that Yahweh the judge, you know, Yahweh has judged. That's the meaning of his name. And he became a king when he was 35 years, ruled for 25 years. And, you know, Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So what did he do? We'll get to know some of these things that he did, which was good in the eyes of the Lord. From 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we are told that Jehoshaphat walked in the way as his father David did. He did not consult Baals, sought the Lord of his father, followed God's command rather than practices of Israel. So you can see where he's coming from. He is somebody whose heart was for the Lord and was bent to follow some of the good things that the Lord had done through David and other leaders before him. So that is what he did. His Bible says that he sought the God of his fathers and he followed God's commands rather than practices of Israel. If we carry on, we get to know that because of what he did and had in his heart, the Lord established the kingdom that he gave him because he was ruling Judah. So the Lord established his kingdom that he was ruling, and he had absolute control. Because God established him, he was able to receive gifts from all Judah and all other places. So he became a very wealthy person and was honored within the area. Bible also says that his heart was devoted to the Lord. So he was somebody who has his heart devoted to the Lord. So if you have your heart devoted to the Lord, it means that there is nothing that will come in between you and God. And that is exactly what he was doing. And also he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. This is one of the key things to me in terms of if you look back in Deuteronomy, Exodus, where these things came in. Because when the Lord took them from where they were and brought them to Canaan, these things were there. The Asherah poles and those things were there. It represents the goddess mother of something, you know, that they were worshipping. And God said, when you get there, exactly, this is what you have to do. You have to destroy all these things. And Jehoshaphat was one of the kings who did that. Whenever it's destroyed along the line, people raise them up. They just raise them like poles to show that we worship this, you know, mother god in this place. And he destroyed all these poles. Because of all this that he did, Bible says that the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah. so that no one, you know, made war with Jehoshaphat. So we can see the situation that Jehoshaphat finds himself. He's been able to devote his heart for the Lord, do what the Lord was telling him, and now he's seeing the benefits of it. God has established his kingdom, and he's getting all that he needs. He never prayed for wealth. It was coming. You know, everything was coming. He could sense peace around him. So he was enjoying the life he wanted to enjoy and leading the people the way he thinks that the Lord was leading him to do. Through his reign, Bible says that if we read 2 Corinthians 19, there it tells us that he appointed judges so that I think they will be able to help to govern over the people. And some of the things that he told his judges, if you read them, are very encouraging when I was reading. That he tells the judges when he appointed them, judge carefully. Judge carefully with the fear of the Lord. So this is a man, he's not taking things by himself, but he's encouraging his people that when you judge, I'm appointing you as judges over all these people, but you have to do this with the fear of God. That's a very good thing about King Jehoshaphat, encouraging the judges to do the right thing for the Lord. He also appointed priests and heads of Israel families and warned them not to sin against the Lord. He encouraged the priests that when these people come to you, when they come with their sins, encourage them and warn them that they shouldn't be going back to sin against the Lord. So he was building a kingdom where people will be more devoted to the Lord, will desire things of holiness, and be able to have the fullness of Christ in that kingdom. And he also encouraged them that serve faithfully as priest, serve faithfully in the sight of the Lord. So he did all these things for the people and the leaders he appointed. So you can see how his kingdom was, you know, progressing. Then all of a sudden, something happened. After years down the line, something happened. There were Moabites, Ammonites, and Munites, and some other people. All these, if we look at from 2 Corinthians chapter 20, we see these things over there. So I'll read a portion of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Somebody who was enjoying peace, enjoying everything, now war is coming. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar. So here, if you pause and you ask yourself, what was the reason for these Moabites, Ammonites to attack this king, to make war? All that comes into my mind is that sometimes we have to understand that the enemy wouldn't leave us alone. When God prospers us, he comes in without telling us that he's coming, but he comes in to destroy. I believe all of us might have had almost news like that in our lives, when things were okay in our lives. It could be our marriages, it could be our health, it could be anything. That we think that everything was going okay for us, and all of a sudden, you know, something else come in, war comes in into our lives. To destroy our peace, to destroy our comfort, now what do? Bible says in verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah, as every person would do. Maybe not every person, because some of us would, you know, looking at the resources, because he had army, you know, experienced army, he had everything, he has put people in place. So if you've been told that there is a vast army coming against you, immediate thing is to organize your army, isn't it? To fight them. But he didn't do that. He never did that. I believe it's a lesson for us. Most of us are fighting battles because of the resources we have. We are fighting battles in our own self. As a church, we really have to learn from it. As a church in unity, we have to know that we don't fight, you know, the battles ahead of us in our own strength. We have to rely on God. As individuals, we have to know that if we are facing challenges, if there are war, you know, coming against us, we shouldn't fight them in our own strength. We should rely on God. Bible says that he was alarmed, just like everybody will be alarmed, you know, but he resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. In verse 4, it says that the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. That's something I love, you know. It says that he called the people and the people came. All the people came. We have to be praying for our families. We have to be praying for our communities. We have to be praying for our nations, that when we call the Lord, you know, people in our community, people in our family, all will desire to be in the sight of the Lord. We shouldn't leave it alone. Sometimes we feel like it's very difficult for us to get there. But my encouragement and the Lord's encouragement today is that definitely the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will bring us to where he has promised that he wants us to be. So he called the fast. Everybody was there. People were able to come. And, you know, the whole Judah was able to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in front of the temple, because he gathered them in front of the temple. And he stood in front of the temple and spoke. And his speaking was prayer. So we look from verse 6. It says that, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? So there is acknowledgement of God here. O God, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Now, let's look at this. There is a vast army with different kingdoms coming together to attack him as one kingdom. But his prayer, he's not complaining about the issue now. He is putting God in place where he needs to God to be. So he's saying that God of our fathers, you are the one who is in heaven. So you are the one we've been worshiping. You are the one we know. And you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. So he has put God in his place, that you are the one who rules over all these kingdoms. So the kingdom who is attacking us, you are the one who rules over them. You are the one who rules over us. The situation in our own lives, you are the one who rules over that situation. Things that are battling us in life, you rule over all this. So we have to speak. We have to put God in his place in issues confronting us. Sometimes we don't. We don't want to put God in his place. But here, it teaches us that God needs to be put in his place. His place is that he rules over every situation. Health, marriage, family, everything. He rules over our situation. So Jehoshaphat was praying with the people, putting God where he needs to be. And he goes on, power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. Wonderful. He knows that the Lord, his servant, power and might are in his hands. No one can stand the Lord. So whatever is facing him, God is able to do something about it. He's put God in his place. And you can see that God is now above that situation. Sometimes we force the problems are above God. That is our belief, that this problem, God will not be able to do anything about it. So we rather put God in a different situation. But God is always above, and he rules, and he's got the power over everything, and no one can withstand him. In verse 7 going, he narrates the fact that the Lord helped them to drive the inhabitants of that land. And it's true. He referred to the word. He referred to history, what he knows about the word of God. Beloved, in our prayers, we need to refer to God. We need God's word in our prayers. That is what works more than what we just say. If we refer to God, what he has done, or what he has promised, or what has brought us into the kingdom, he is bound to his word, because he's a king and he rules. And whatever he speaks, Bible says that he looks to that word, that it comes into place. So Jehoshaphat referred to the Lord, that you are the one who fought for us. You established us in this place. It wasn't his own strength that established the people of Judah in that place, but it was the Lord himself. Now, he goes on to say, some of the things that were happening around that time. And from verse 11, he now starts to narrate the actual issue. From verse 10, it tells what was the issue to him, the war that he was confronting at that time. So if we read 11, it says that, see how the Amorites, Moabites, and all these people are repaying us by coming to drive us out from the possession you gave us as an inheritance. God has given us possession, and he was saying that people are at war with them, kingdoms are at war with them to take that possession from them. So he's now placed his case before the Lord. And just placing his case before the Lord, was it the end? Definitely not. In verse 12, that is my key area tonight. It says that, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We do not know what we have to do, but our eyes are upon you. So here, what is happening? He's told God the problem. This is the challenge I'm having in life. The possession, the good health you gave me, the peace you gave me, the area you gave us to be able to work in, we can see all sort of encroachment in this area. We are not able to pursue the things that you have called this church to do. And he raised all these things. And finally he says that, I hand all these things over to you. Our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do. And today, some of us should say the same thing. I believe God is saying that some of us should be able to say the same thing, that we do not know what to do. our eyes are on you. I believe Lillian and myself will be saying these things, that we do not know what to do in our own lives. We need Him to guide us. There are one or two things we battle with in terms of, at a point we felt we have to leave here. Should we go? Should we leave? So these are some of the things some of us should hand over. We have acknowledged the Lord. We have quoted His word. We have done so many things, right? But sometimes we've not handed over everything to Him. But He did. Jehoshaphat did. He said that we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. So definitely the battle is in the hands of the Lord. Let's see what really happens. Is it true that God has taken control over what, or is answering that prayer? But before that prayer, there is a picture. I love that picture. Verse 13. I love that picture. It says that all the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. That was the picture. So here is the case that the vast army have surrounded Judah. Now Judah have come to the temple. All the people have crowded there. And this is the picture. All the men, their wives, their children and little ones, Bible says that stood there before the Lord, because their eyes were on the Lord. So everybody quiet. Jehoshaphat was the only one talking, but he has finished talking, and their eyes were on the Lord. Now, there and then in verse 14, Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came and a prophet spoke. So in verse 15, we see what the prophet was saying. He's saying that, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid and discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." What is happening? The Lord has taken control. Now he's saying that the battle is never yours, because you've handed that battle to me. So the Lord is responding to Jehoshaphat's prayer in the presence of the rest of Judah, from that prophet who was speaking. And he was saying that, King Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it's mine. The battle is mine. So the Lord has taken control over the battle. And I believe if we hand over our battles to Him, He is able to take our battles and assure us that He is in control. And there is that encouragement that do not be afraid of this vast army. Do not be afraid. Maybe we are afraid of the situation around us. We are afraid of the challenges we face, the war the enemy is waging upon us. But the Lord is saying today, we have to stand firm. We shouldn't be afraid. We just have to, depend upon Him, because the battle is in His hands. From verse 16, He directs them. He says that tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Zez, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jireel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So this is the prophet's message. And I believe if I prayed and there is a prophet somewhere who responds like that, I'll feel good in my heart that the Lord has answered my prayer. The Lord has answered my prayer. And that is what exactly Jehoshaphat did. In verse 18, he just bowed in front of the people with his face to the ground, and all the people also did the same thing. They just bowed before the Lord. And the Bible says that they started worshiping the Lord. You see, I think most of us have not experienced the Lord to that limit. So sometimes we find it very difficult to get there. But if we have experienced the Lord like this king, you will enjoy who God is. You won't find it very difficult, because God himself, by his nature, is supposed to be worshipped. So the moment you see Jesus, you bow. That is his nature. There is nothing, you know, God is God. And his nature is like that. The moment you come into his encounter, it's not your wisdom in the world or whatever. By his nature, as soon as you see him, that's why Bible says that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. The moment you see him, you go, bow down. That is his nature. And they bow because they've seen that God in their lives. They've seen that that God is answering their prayers and is leading them and is guiding them, giving directions and promising that tomorrow they have to do certain things. There is something that Jehoshaphat did, apart from they worshipping and praising God initially. The next day, early in the morning, when they woke up and they had to go and face what the Lord was telling them. If you look at verse 20, and maybe part B or something like that, it says that, listen to me, when Jehoshaphat was speaking to them that early morning. Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. So here, there is another key thing for us to take with us. It's not just acknowledging God, you know, lifting God where he's supposed to be in our prayers, and also handing over our issues and everything to him, and worshiping him, knowing that he has answered our prayer. But there is another key thing here that we have to learn, and it's what? Faith. He says that, have faith in the Lord. Sometimes we do all these things, but the faith doesn't come in. But that is what Jehoshaphat encouraged the people. Have faith in the Lord. So Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. We will be here. We will do all sorts of things for the Lord. But without true faith, knowing that God will do this, it's impossible to please God. We will just be people who come here to serve and do things. But God is looking for people who have faith. He's not seen the battle won, but he started praising God. He's not seen some of the things, you know, in reality, but he started worshiping God. Why? He has trusted his word, and he's encouraging his people. All of you have the same faith. Because if we have faith, then we'll be able to do what the Lord wants us to do. In order not to drag this too much, I will make sure that I shorten this quickly and Chris come and take over for the communion. So here we see how Jehoshaphat has led the people, done all that is necessary, and the people also responded as expected of them. And Bible says that whilst the people were worshipping the Lord that day, that morning, you know, God laid in ambush, you know, in those places, and the people were killed. So by the time the people of Judah were able to go and stand in a place that they were supposed to stand and look at the vast army, all that they saw was what? Dead bodies. They never touched anybody there. God fought that battle for them because they trusted God. They depended upon him. They had faith in the God that they serve. So when we trust God, we will see his miracles. We will see his blessings in this church. We will see some of the things that, you know, we've never thought of. I think one of the challenges in this church at the moment is rebuilding this place. And sometimes I ask myself, Lord, looking at the resources at the moment, help us, other than that our faith will grow cold in this. We need faith. We need to trust him. He rules. He is the one who have all these resources. He determines when things need to be done. We don't need to worry ourselves with this. And we just have to hand over to him and have faith that he will rebuild this place spiritually, physically, and bring people here to be saved and to be led to him. The Lord helped Jehoshaphat to overcome his enemies. Jehoshaphat encouraged his people to trust the Lord, and he led all his people to the Lord. Just to say this to end us, I believe Jehoshaphat should have been able to stay like that, but unfortunately, it wasn't like that at the end. Not very bad sense, but he aligned with, you know, the king of Israel. Bible says that who was, guilty of wickedness is part of the chapter 20. If you go back, you can read it. He was part of, he was guilty of wickedness, and he aligned with him to build things and to do things. And the Lord spoke to his prophet to tell him that he would destroy everything, and he did. So our worship with the Lord, we have to take it from the beginning, but make sure that we encourage ourselves, pray for one another, that we would all get to the very end. It could be for our children, it could be for our partners, it could be for our people in our community and the rest of our families, that no one will get distracted along the line. We want to see all our souls in heaven and worship the true God. Shall we pray? Our Lord and King, we thank you so much for what you've taught us today, and we pray that, Lord, may your Holy Spirit take absolute control. Give us, O Lord, true understanding of this word, and encourage us to be able to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.